29 times more than the average rain leaves Mumbai struggling. Red alert warns of heavy rain tomorrow. Schools and colleges will be shut. Trains, flights and road traffic takes a big, big hit. Where's Maximum City's infrastructure, asks Mumbai. But in the midst of the deluge, humanity is alive. Mumbaikars open homes, Ganesh Pratals and Gurudwaras offering help to those stranded. Good evening, I'm Natasha Jog. You're watching The Buck Stops here on a day Mumbai will remember for a long time. The city was deluged today and each minute, many Mumbaikars told us, was a struggle. That as the city saw rains of 29 times the average. There are alerts and warnings for tomorrow as well. Flights and trains are very badly affected. Road traffic also came to a virtual halt. In fact, we are hearing of people still out there stuck in traffic and fear that they could be spending the night out there on the roads as well.
Madam, if I come this side, please. You can go from here. Just go from here.
There's a gutter here.
No, there's no gutter here. Come.
Where do I go?
You just come here, yeah. Walk straight.
There's no gutter earlier.
No, there's no gutter here. You just walk straight. Walk straight. There is a little thing here. Just don't trip. Don't trip.
Where?
Yeah, you'll see. Yeah. Can you find a free platform?
Yeah.
Okay. From where have you been walking?
Station. I came from my office and the driver had to go because they were not allowing the vehicle, so I decided to walk.
So you got off the vehicle and had to walk because the driver wouldn't go?
No, the driver was not allowed to go by the police.
The fear of 2005 came back to haunt Mumbai today. In a span of 9 hours, the city received 300 millimeters of rainfall. That's 27 times the normal rain in a day. Across the length and breadth of India's business capital, flooded streets, massive traffic jams, cancelled flights, and trains delayed or stopped altogether.
What you see behind me are the almost invisible railway tracks of Mumbai's vast suburban railway network. This is the Bandra station where trains have come to a grinding halt.
As it continued to rain, offices shut early and people tried to get to safety. Perhaps some of the worst affected were patients at the KEM hospital in Parel, one of the low-lying areas of the city, with people wading through flooded corridors. As the city coped, questions for the BMC, with many Mumbaikars asking, where has all the money given for desilting and sewerage meant to prevent flooding gone? The Chief Minister took the lead trying to ensure the city stayed afloat.
लोगों को मैं फिर एक बार इतना ही यहां पर निवेदन करना चाहता हूं कि बहुत आवश्यक काम हो तभी लोग घर से बाहर निकले अन्यथा घर से बाहर नहीं निकले लोगों ने हमारे ट्रैफिक एडवाइजरीज को देखकर ही रास्तों के ऊपर निकलना चाहिए अन्यथा रास्तों में भी वो अटक सकते हैं.
As the rains showed no signs of stopping and Mumbai's streets turned into rivers like this, Mumbaikars made desperate bids to get back home, sometimes wading through these streets and sometimes trying to hop onto any mode of transport they could find. While the city's citizens opened up their homes to those stranded and stood by each other in this hour of need, the question is, who and what about the administration? Because these questions have been asked in the past after a deluge and will be asked again. But what is the administration doing and how could they tackle situations like this better? With camera person Sanjay Mandal, Saurabh Gupta, NDTV.
And that's our special focus on the Buck Stops here tonight. Let me introduce my special panel. Milind Deora of the Congress is with us in the studio. Radeep Kumar Rana, DIG Operations of the NDRF, also joined by TV host and anchor Mini Mathur. Thanks all for taking our time to be with us. Milind, while I introduced you as the head of the Congress, speaking to you, of course, this evening, first and foremost, as a citizen of Mumbai, describe to us your first thoughts as the parallels were made with 2005. People, of course, describing it as a terrifying downpour and more.
Well, I don't think it's an unfair comparison for people to make. 2005 caught Mumbai unaware, caught the authorities completely unaware. It was 12 years ago. Times are very different in terms of, the average citizen's access to communication tools, to social media, for instance. What I thought the authorities would have learned, and I remember I was a member of parliament in 2005. I was a one-year-old member of parliament at the time. And I remember a standard operating procedure being put in place, which would allow for all authorities, central government authorities, state government authorities, municipality, to coordinate in the event of a massive downpour like we've seen today. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, none of that has been followed. Mm-hmm. So right now, what we're talking about, when I'm watching television, looking at Twitter, I'm seeing, different authorities, chief minister, etc., coming out and saying, this is what people need to do. This is when the railway lines are going to be restored, etc. This shouldn't have happened in the first place. The reason there's a problem today is that people are stranded. People can't get home. People had a nightmare trying to get home. And unfortunately, what happened was that it wasn't until 2 p.m. or so that Mumbaikars realized that there's a problem. It's raining nonstop. There's flooding in different parts of the city. And that offices should shut early. By the time offices began to shut down, it was 3:30 or 4, and that was around the time that the government formally made an announcement that people should try and get home without panicking. And it was till about 5 or 6 p.m. that the state government decided, and the chief minister, I think, tweeted that schools will be shut tomorrow. So clearly there was a lack of planning. There was a lack of preparedness. There was a lack of response. And that's what I think is angering people and frustrating them. That, on the other hand, with the fact that people don't know who to hold accountable, which is something I've been seeing for a long time in Mumbai city and perhaps in other metros in this country, that most Mumbaikars, for instance, don't even know who the city's mayor is. Mm-hmm. If you went out and did a poll, maybe 1 in 100 people would be able to name the city's mayor. And as a result of that, people don't know who runs Mumbai city. Okay. They don't know whether to hold the chief minister accountable, whether to hold their local MP, MLA or municipal councillor responsible, whether to hold the police department accountable. And as a result of that, there's no accountability in our system. So what I've been advocating for a long time as a solution, not to politicize this debate at all, is that a city like Mumbai, which contributes so much to the state exchequer, to the central exchequer by way of taxes,
why isn't more done?
Powers and deserves to have a directly elected
Absolutely.
Mayor who the people of Mumbai will know who that mayor is and can hold accountable every 5 years.
Fair enough. Accountability is a good point. We did have someone, we wish we had someone, from the BJP, from Sena this evening. But the focus, Mini, of course, has been on the fact, the point that I'm making is on accountability. At the same time, this kind of rain has been described over and over again as unprecedented, as extraordinary. But do you believe that more could have been done, perhaps better warning systems in place?
The problem with this, Natasha, is that everything happens in our city in retrospect. So when you have the government response in place, it comes way too late after we've already bared the downpour and we've already done with it. The point is, it's always then down to the blame game. Now, schools have been declared shut for tomorrow. But the point is that the worst is already over. So this knee-jerk reaction to close schools has happened in response to the lack of response for today. So not only are we lost today, in, like Milind said, the commercial capital of today, it's also going to be a complete dead loss tomorrow.
True.
So accountability is a big thing. And I think I'd just like to add here that, much has been said about, this being the maximum city and the big, great Mumbai spirit that really sees everything through. The point is, it's going to crack someday. And today, all day, we've only been going round and round on various social media chat groups trying to tell people where they can go to get water and chai and, you know, all of this, when actually the government and, you know, the BMC should have put out all these notices and they should have made all these arrangements. You know, it's kind of, yeah.
Fair enough. The big heroes, of course, have been the city, have been the people of the city of Mumbai. We're going to just get into the point of the debate. But before that, I'd just like to get Mr. Rana in. So for all those who are watching and just sort of the point when he's making that tomorrow, of course, schools are shut, colleges are shut. But what should people be doing? We're getting a lot of viewer feedback from people saying that what should we do if we're just caught in the rain, those who are stuck right now on the streets and are worried that they might just be spending all night out there.
Yeah, Natasha, as of now, five teams of NDRF are already in the city. Mm-hmm. Five are on the way. Mm-hmm. These five have been moved, keeping in the forecast only, because mm-hmm. there is no requirement as of now. Mm-hmm. But even if more rains are there and if more teams are required, we have moved the teams mm-hmm. in advance. Mm-hmm. And for the people, because they are the biggest sufferers, mm-hmm. and from our experience of the past, mm-hmm. the maximum amount of loss is basically due to collapse of old houses or to escape from the rain, people usually take shelters by the side of some wall. Mm-hmm. The wall collapses, incidents are
so
there.
So don't do that, but just be careful where you're standing.
Yes.
Just be alert.
Another the major incidents which happen in such scenario is electrocution, because lot of loose wiring is there, and since wiring is underwater,
so
people are
not
aware. Yeah,
and of course, and of course, those open potholes, those manholes.
Open potholes, definitely.
Known.
If people move on the road, because it is almost moving blindly, mm-hmm. because roads are covered with water, and potholes
people
are definitely they
in fact,
cause accidents.
We sort of experienced that firsthand. Our crews were approached by people there on the streets who said that, you know, help us reach the pavement because we don't know where the potholes are. So, Deed Mishra, you're also joining us now. The state of our cities, we've been talking about the neglect of our cities, our dying cities. Now, we're talking about Mumbai, the richest civic body in the country. And the focus has been on all these hundreds of crores that has been spent. But clearly, today it seems to be just very poor spending. Of course, people want to know where the money has gone, but there are no clear answers, are there?
As far as I'm concerned, the city has been cracking apart for the past 30 years. You know, I remember coming in 1982, 83 and walking, you know, knee-deep in bicolor. You know, all the low-lying areas every year used to get flooded. Mm-hmm. I think Mr. Milindora is talking about a special something for Mumbai, but I think you need a minister for Mumbai. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the Mumbai handles, I mean, the population has grown, the infrastructure is cracking. Mm-hmm. You can't, there is a great need to concentrate. It also looks after so many of us who are migrants, right? I mean, who have left our homes and made this our home, and the city looks after us in a great way. And I think the city deserves a much better attention from the center mm-hmm. and from the powers that be here, that, you know, the infrastructure really needs a real total overhaul, because otherwise every year we'll discuss this. I went to work today and I came back from work. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's the spirit of Mumbai, whatever, and I have to do it, so I did it. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, there are so many much less fortunate, there's so many with so many difficulties, there are children in schools, better warning system should be, there are old people who have to get to hospitals. Mm-hmm. You know, none of this seems to matter to people, and it seems really sad. You know, I think the population of Mumbai also needs to get into the act. Now, remember, you throw a plastic bottle. Remember, you know, when you extend your homes into the marshland, and remember when you do all this, what you are also doing against the city.
That's a good point.
City, you know.
That's a good point.
I think the populace and the powers have to really have a very, very, you know, deep conversation. action here, you know, because otherwise we'll just keep talking about this every
Fair
year.
Fair enough. Let me get Milind in on that point. Milind, there's of course no denying that one reason why our cities are crumbling is just the kind of pressure that we have on them. It's just not the migrants, but just our numbers and how they're expanding, especially in our big cities. So is it really fair to blame anyone, or is there more that we can do and perhaps build other centers as well? I mean, is this in that one big reason, the pressure on our big cities, which is seeing them crumble the way they are?
Look, there are many issues. If you look at, now if you get into a larger debate on urban governance, you know, obviously you need satellite towns around large metros, which can decongest lives. You need effective transportation links that allow these large metros to be decongested. All of those are infrastructure pieces that really need to fit in, and those are really long-term solutions. But where I think my dear friend Mr. Mishra, my dear friend Mini Mathur, and I see eye to eye is that we all want something to improve. Now, in the last 15 years that I've been in politics and been in the system, many people have come to me with different solutions. People have said we need a state minister for Mumbai. Others have said Mumbai should become union territory. Some people have said Mumbai should become a separate state. I'm telling you that none of those are solutions that are effective and that are going to solve the problems
Absolutely.
Of Mumbai city. Mm-hmm. There's actually a very simple solution that Mumbai requires. Every large city in the world has a strong, empowered, accountable mayor. Mm-hmm. Mumbai does not. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why nobody in Mumbai cares about who the mayor is. Mm-hmm. Today, when this flood happened, you would, in a large, you know, a city
in
with
West,
gate systems,
right.
You would see the mayor moving around the city,
Lead, right.
Communicating through the media. People don't even know who the mayor is. So that would happen if there's a minister in charge of Mumbai
Fair
city
enough.
As well.
Fair
therefore, what I'm saying, what Mumbaikars need to unite behind, and not just
again more
vent,
accountability
on one day in a year when this happens, or every 12 years, but perennially throughout the year,
Absolutely.
When they vote for municipal elections, when they vote for parliamentary elections, when they vote for state elections, they need to say that Mumbai, it's time that Mumbai needs a directly elected, accountable mayor.
Okay.
That is something I've been advocating for a while, because I know how the system works or doesn't work, rather.
Right.
And
Fair enough.
I'm
accountability,
convinced that that is
saying...
one solution which can fix a lot of the problems, whether tomorrow it's a terrorist attack.
Okay.
You'd have the same problem.
Okay.
If there's a terrorist attack, again,
who is
the
in charge? Who is leading
statements.
From the front? You're saying
another
is a
agency
big
would be
point.
Making statements. The Home Minister of India would be making statements. Once again, no one person would be in charge or be able to coordinate.
Okay.
Sorry to interrupt.
That's,
one small
that's
point.
The problem.
The reason
we don't
today
know who's
happened
in charge. We don't know who's leading
because,
from the front. You're saying
yes,
take
and the reason
the
today
book
happened
off big cities, say like New York, where the mayor sort of stands at the forefront
and the BMC failed to coordinate with the Met Department and issue a strong enough warning to the citizens of Mumbai not to go to schools or not to go to work.
Okay.
And that's how you need to avert that problem in the future.
Okay. Okay. Meaning, you know, we've had lots of people writing into us saying, you know, this all of this just sounds like a horrible sense of deja vu. Governments come and go. It's not about any one party or any one kind of politics. But, you know, the fact that there seems to be just such a frustration, really, with the way people handle this, successive governments and different parties. I would imagine it's you feel the same this evening, that nothing really changes. I mean, much song and dance is made. There's much hand-wringing and chest-beating. But what actually changes on the ground from 2005 to 2017? What has changed?
Nothing has changed, absolutely, because we are just, and it's not just, you know, the deluge of 19, you know, that 2005 that happened and now this. Every year we face a breakdown of services due to rain. It may not be, you know, 500 mm of rain, but every year we see there is a day or two in the entire season of monsoon in Mumbai where everything stops and services are, you know, there's a huge setback, and still we never learn from our mistakes. We will sit and say, oh, there's, you know, there should be more efficacy and there should be more accountability. Where is our tax going? This is such a rich civic body. Where's the money going? And then everyone just goes about their jobs, because it is not really our job to set things right. You would be horrified to step out on the streets today and see that the entire, you know, you'd see loose wires, you'd see electrocution. I'm not even getting into potholes here. Roads that have been repaired, you know, falling apart within months before the monsoon even approaches. I want to know, we were talking about accountability earlier. I want to know, even if we have a mayor in place who looks at contingency plans when something like this happens in Bombay, whether it's the monsoon or it's, you know, a terrorism threat or whatever. The point is, who is today answerable for, I mean, today I was going through some figures of, you know, of the BMC budgets and what we actually ended up spending every year. We're not even spending enough on what needs to be spent upon. What are they doing? How can we see the crowd only coming out when there is a, you know, mob to be handled or, a, you know, election to be won? When there is work, there is just no accountability. We never see any kind of, you know, municipal work happening throughout the year with any amount of diligence, with the quality that it should be tackled with.
Fair enough. You are, of course, I think, venting what just so many people from Mumbai are feeling this evening. But, Sudhir Mishra, if I can get you back in, you know, you said that, you know, this is, of course, we have to look at how our cities are expanding, just look at the kind of pressure we are putting on a city and its infrastructure and its resources. But is the problem also the fact that we've also been a society where we've got this chalta hai attitude, that it's okay, it's forgotten. You know, we talk about the spirit of Mumbai, the point that many made, and, you know, humanity is still alive and they'll make good catching headlines. But then again, it's back to square one. And the people also shoulder some blame that they don't ask for the accountability either, do they?
No, they don't. I mean, when I was going through the city today, I mean, there's a lot of water, there's been a lot of rain, but much of what is I see happening, much of the water logging that I see is obviously man-made. Mm-hmm. There are buildings built without proper, you know, places for the water to go through. You can see a stretch of road which is absolutely clear, and then suddenly you go into almost knee-deep water. Mm-hmm. Why is that happening? I mean, you know, this is something. I mean, why are we buying into buildings as people, as buyers, which don't have occupation certificates, which don't have? There's so much that's wrong. There's so much wrong that we do. You know, I mean, I live on Mud Island. I go to Aksa Beach. You should see the mess every day on the beach. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's like a, you know, it's like the second post Second World, like a Holocaust situation. Mm-hmm. You know, every Sunday when people go from there.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's such a, I mean, you know, odd thing that, you know, how much of an effort that has the populace got to make by being aware, by voting, by also participating in the community process, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I'm afraid, that, you know, as Indians, we don't. We give lectures.
Okay.
And there are so many
now, that's what I may add to what Sudhir is saying. This city, I'm just saying, just a little word to add to Sudhir out there. I think this city is an urban and it's in dire need of some urban planning laws. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone is just, you know, their buildings sprouting up everywhere, like Sudhir said, without, you know, OCs. It just needs a very, very strong urban planning infrastructure at the moment. It's in dire need of it.
And for everyone perhaps to realize that we're all of us are in it together. So, you know, at the end of the day, there won't be any passing the buck.
That's it. The cops did a very good job today. Hmm. And the people participated. And it's very heartening to see that how it was managed. Hmm. It was brilliant because I was on the road. Hmm. And I went from Mud Island to Andheri East, mm-hmm. into the heart of the business district, and I came back to Andheri.
Okay.
And it took a little longer, but the way the people participated, the way the people opened up their houses.
Exactly, and I wanted to speak on that, and I will just come to you. I will just speak on that, but Mr. Rana's been waiting. Mr. Rana, very quickly, in a situation like this, what really is the biggest challenge for forces like?
The biggest challenge is to reach out to the last man who is actually stranded in the water. Mm. Because usually communication channels are broken, mm. he is not able to communicate well. Mm. So reaching out to different localities is one thing, but reaching out to the people who are actually stranded. Mm. And because we are keeping these kind of contingencies in two categories. Mm. People who have to be evacuated, mm-hmm. they can wait. But people who have to be rescued.
I see. So there's a distinction that you make.
Yeah, that is a distinction, mm-hmm. because the one who is whose life is in danger, mm-hmm. so there's no time. Mm-hmm. So reaching out to him and reaching out to him without losing time, mm-hmm. that is the biggest challenge. And since
of course every last person that you have to save
every person matters. Every person matters.
Right.
Like in this flood season only, NDRF has rescued more than 1 lakh people, mm-hmm. and out of those around 3,000 have been actually rescued.
I see.
Whose life would have been endangered had our rescuers not reached to them on
you
time.
Really are heroes. You really are heroes for India there. But, you know, you made the point. Last word, Sudhir Mini. Mini, to you first. You know, Sudhir, they're making the point about how the people of Mumbai have opened their hearts and homes. And it really is a heartwarming story of the day. You're one of those, just like so many people out there who've gone there to say, if you're stranded, you've given people where to go. People have opened up their homes. That really speaks a lot for all those who are opening their hearts and homes to strangers, offering them a dry bed, warm food, and a roof over their heads, isn't it?
It is the single most redeeming factor of a calamity.
Writing bad poetry about a heartless Mumbai. Mm-hmm. Bad poets to stop writing bad poetry about a heartless Mumbai, because not.
Okay. Okay. Mini?
It's not heartless at all. Like I said, it's the most redeeming factor. In fact, today I've only been, forwarding, messages from people who have not just opened out, their homes to anyone, given their phone numbers, their personal phone numbers on social media to say, just come in, there's food, there's warm towels, people have, Bombay Canteen is one of the restaurants. They said, okay, we're shutting down, but heck, there is biscuits and tea for anyone who's stranded around Korail. There are restaurants, there are people who just made like temporary sheds to give, tea and towels and, I it's very, very heartening. I've had people who have been on the road from 3 to 6, just traveling 5 kilometers, and it took them 6 hours to get there. But the stories they've come back with how the people were, is really the most heartwarming thing that's come out of it. In fact, earlier today, I'd like to add that there was a report that came to us that there was a child from Juhu who was lost, and within, I would say, 5 to 7 minutes on various, chat groups and social media, we could locate him, call his mother, and his dad was on his way to pick him up. So this is the strength of the network that we Mumbaikars build for ourselves, for the lack of better protection from the government.
Right. Sudhir, thanks very much, Rana. Also, before we go, last comments. I'm also getting in late in the day, but glad to have Malishka, RJ with Red FM, join us. Malishka, thanks. We barely have a few moments, but, as someone who has, of course, been tracking the civic infrastructure or lack of it in the city, what would you like to say to all those who are watching, feeling frustrated, somewhat dejected, and the debate, of course, between Mumbai that has shown plenty of heart, or as Sudhir Mishra says, a heartless city?
I have heard a lot about the resilience of this city. We all have. We've all heard about the bounce-back mentality, about the spirit of Mumbai. But this is a city that has managed to do a lot when it has gone through a lot. It doesn't mean that it's used to it. It doesn't mean that it's okay. It doesn't mean that it will continue and we will be fine with it. Mm. It just means that we have to bounce back to life. Mm. Being one of the busiest cities, one of those metros that is world-renowned, world-hailed. Mm. However, what needs to happen right now, in my humble opinion, is beyond all this tutu meme, beyond all the talks of this was responsible, it's a crazy deluge, nothing can happen, is, like I said before, a huge political will to make this work. To figure out what this city needs, because this is not the first time it's happening. So if anybody tells me that this is unprecedented, it's really not true. We saw worse in 2005. Mm. Are we going to see worse in the next few years, or maybe even
tomorrow?
So it's what is going to happen? Where is the accountability, and where are the repercussions if something like that happens?
Absolutely, it's not the first. And of course, sadly, it will not be the last, but will our response be any different? Will the situation, will the headlines be any different? Will we be better prepared? It's not about to meme, it's also not about the spirit of Mumbai, like the guests feel. The city really has no option but to bounce back. But can we be better prepared? Can all these hundreds of crores be better spent? Can there be more accountability? That's still the big question. Well, thanks all of you for spending the time to speak to us tonight. Tomorrow's, of course, also a day where there is an other alert, but just let's hope that things are somewhat calmer and better in the city. Thanks very much again. Well, that's a wrap on the Buck Stops here. Goodbye, good night.